And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Describe in the most mundane of terms, the most heavenly of happenings, occurred in a stable 2 millennia ago. From the dwelling of the heavenly host, the Lord of all descended to the womb of the Virgin Mary and was born into circumstances hardly appropriate for the poorest of the poor. In Bethlehem, the house of bread, he who would call himself the very bread of life drew a first breath into those pink little lungs. As parents do, Mary and Joseph held this little one close to them, showering him with kisses and at times holding him face to face with his face close to their face, drawing in the sweet breath of a newborn who was not only fresh with the breath of new life, but fresh with the breath of a newly renewed humanity. To me, it is no wonder that neither St. Mary nor St. Joseph ever wrote anything down for generations of Christ's followers to read. No epistle of St. Joseph, no epistle of St. Mary. She, as mothers do, stored all these things up in her heart and pondered them, feeding him, caring for him, caressing him, as if speechlessly stunned day after day that she was chosen of her singular self to one who would give of himself for the whole world. And Joseph did his best to teach this little one the only trade that he knew, that of carpentry, and no doubt he cringed, as fathers do, at how pathetically small is our contribution to the life of those given to our care. A nativity scene is fulfilled today. The Christ child is placed in the manger, and as commonplace as this scene has come to be, understood quite easily by a child. There is more cosmic wonder in that scene than can be expressed in words, and so perhaps we should learn to hush as well. I today spare myself the burden of trying to say something new about a scene over which angels have cried out and shepherds have run to tell and prophets and apostles and fathers and doctors and theologians of the church have said so much. Let us hear, therefore, today from Leo the First, if you know that name, a great figure of the 5th century, the 4th Ecumenical Council, the Christological Council, who worked so hard to clarify just what happened at this incarnation, and whose letter, whose tome, won the day in that council. To answer the question, just who was and who is this one that breathed into Mary and Joseph's nostrils as they held him? Just how should we then respond to this revelation from God, this feast of the incarnation begun today? His words are these: "Dearly beloved, unto us is born this day a Savior. Therefore, let us rejoice. Sadness should find no place among those who keep the birthday of life. For as of this day, life came unto us dying creatures to take away the sting of death and to bring the bright promise of joy eternal. And no one is excluded from sharing in this our gladness. For all mankind hath one and the same cause thereof, to wit, that our Lord, the destroyer of sin and death, because he findeth no one free from condemnation, is come himself to set everyone free. Rejoice, O saint, for thou drawest nearer thy crown. Rejoice, O sinner, for thy Savior offereth thee pardon. Rejoice, O Jew, for Messiah has come. Rejoice, O Gentile, for God calleth thee to life. Now is come the fullness of time fixed by the unsearchable counsel of God, when the Son of God took upon him the nature of man, that he might reconcile it to its maker. Now is come the time when the devil, the inventor of death, is met and beaten in that very flesh which hath been the field of his victory. When the Almighty Lord entered this field of battle against the devil, he did so in great and wondrous fairness. For against our cruel enemy, he opposed not the armament of his uncreate majesty, but the lowliness of our flesh. He brought against him the very shape and the very nature of our mortality, with this difference only, that he was without sin. For his birth is not like that of the ordinary run of men, of whom there is the saying, "No one is clean from stain, not even the day-old babe." In this birth alone, no desires of the flesh had place. In this birth alone, no consequence of sin had part. A virgin of the kingly lineage of David was chosen to be the mother who grew heavy with the sacred child. She was chosen to conceive this divine and human offspring in her body because already she had conceived him in her soul. And that the unwanted events ordained by the counsel of God might cause her no alarm, she was taught them beforehand when the angel announced what was to be wrought in her was of the Holy Ghost. And that was to become the mother of God was not to forgo her virgin modesty. Wherefore, dearly beloved, let us give thanks to God the Father through his Son in the Holy Ghost, who for his great love wherewith he loved us hath had mercy on us, and even when we were dead in sins hath quickened us together with Christ, that in him we might be a new creature, a new workmanship. Let us then put off the old man with his deeds, and having obtained a share in the sonship of Christ, let us renounce the deeds of the flesh. Acknowledge, O Christian, thine own dignity, who hast been made partaker of the divine nature, and change not back by misdoing into thy former baseness. Bethink thee whose body it is whereof thou art made a member, and who is its head. Be mindful that he hath delivered us from the power of darkness and translated us into God's light and God's kingdom. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.